And he said to him, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3, because the sun's light failed. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle, and Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Saying this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what happened, he began to glorify God, saying, This man really was righteous. All the crowds that had gathered for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, went home, striking their chests. But all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things.
Thanks, Lauren. Well, as I said before, we're looking at this chapter because we have Easter next week, and the next time we gather together will be Easter Sunday, and so we'll be talking about Jesus' resurrection rather than Jesus' death on the cross. And so that's why each year we look at this particular section of Jesus' story the week before Easter. Now, as we come to this story, we've picked the passage from Luke rather than one of the other Gospels because we've been working our way through Luke over this particular year. And as we look at this section, we see that Jesus wasn't the only one crucified, that there were 3 people that were crucified that day, that morning. And Jesus is in the middle and there's a criminal on either side of him. And we notice that they make last requests of Jesus. Now, I thought about looking up online, you know, famous last requests and so on, and turns out that some of the stuff that's there is pretty inappropriate to be talking about here, so I thought I won't bother bringing that to you. But it's interesting that people often, when they're in prison and they're facing an execution in various countries, not in Australia, thankfully, but when they're facing execution, they often get to have a last meal. And they get to choose whatever they want. So they might say, oh, I want a Domino's pizza. Perhaps compared to what they normally get in prison, that would be a wonderful meal. We'd probably think, oh, why would you choose a Domino's pizza? But people have different things. And I did notice on one of the websites some really weird things that people ordered for their last meal. One fellow said, my request is that rather than me eating the last meal, every homeless person in our city gets delivered a pizza to eat. Now, that was turned down. They would not grant that request. But one of the pizza companies that worked in the city heard about this and undertook to do it because it was good for their brand, wasn't it? And so they went round giving pizza to all the homeless people that were in the town. And, of course, we know all 5 food groups are in one slice of pizza, so a very healthy, good meal to give to people who are in need of a feed. Well, these 2 guys that are on either side of Jesus, we read that they've been taken outside Jerusalem to a place called the Skull. Now, we're not sure why it was called that. Perhaps it was the shape of the hill or the rock near it that looked a little bit like a skull. We don't know, but it's certainly a place of death. And as they get taken there, the 3 of them are about to be put to death. 2 hardened criminals on either side of Jesus, and 1 on his right, 1 on his left. And as we look at this, Luke shares with us that they each have a last request. So let's look at the first man. He's hostile to Jesus. And you read there in verse 39 the things that he says. Just got to get my glasses working for me. One of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Now, I don't think he really believes that Jesus is the Messiah. The word Messiah means promised king. From the Old Testament, the Jewish people were looking forward to God sending someone who would be a king, but who would also be a rescuer. And he was called the Messiah. And so this man is saying to Jesus, aren't you meant to be the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But he doesn't actually think that Jesus is the Messiah. In fact, what he's doing is he's replicating the soldiers who he's heard who were taunting Jesus just beforehand. And so look at verse 35. The people stood watching and even the leaders kept scoffing. He saved others, let him save himself if this is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him and they brought some sour wine to him and they said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And so here the criminal is just repeating the mocking of these leaders who don't have any faith in Jesus at all. And so he's self-centered. He wants to be rescued from the death that he's about to face, but he treats Jesus as his slave, and he makes demands on him. Save yourself and save us. He's basically saying, Jesus, I actually don't think you can. You reckon you're so good. Do this, but you're not going to do it because you're a loser. I think that's more the attitude that's in this guy as he speaks. He's an angry man. We don't know what sort of life he led, but we know that he's a criminal, and whatever crime he'd committed was serious enough for him to be executed. He would have heard Jesus praying in verse 34 when Jesus was being nailed to the cross. He prayed for those who were treating him that way. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. He would have read the sign above Jesus' head, which said, "This is the King of the Jews." So here he was with evidence, the way that Jesus responded and praying for forgiveness for those who were executing him, and the sign that declared the truth about who Jesus was, and yet this guy failed to recognize it and to accept it as being true. So he rejected Jesus. He's there side by side with the one person who could save him, and he makes demands on him. Save yourself and us. And ironically, if Jesus was to come down from the cross to save himself, which I think is what this criminal is expecting Jesus to do if he's going to do something, it would mean that Jesus actually couldn't save him. In order for Jesus to save the criminal, Jesus needed to stay on the cross. Because his death on the cross was a death in place of sinners, that they might be forgiven. Sadly, many people in our world are a little bit like this criminal. They're bitter towards God. Perhaps they feel that they've had a rough hand in life that's been dealt to them, and so the troubles that they've had are all God's fault. And they don't accept responsibility for their own decisions and the outcomes from their own decisions. And so they rail at God and they reject him. It's his fault that they're suffering. And they demand that he comes in and intervene. If God really cares about me, why doesn't he do something? And in the end, like this man, they make demands on him, yet they don't truly trust him. And they reject him sometimes to their death. Well, what about the other man? The other criminal is very different. When he hears the first criminal having a go at Jesus, he speaks up in verse 40. He answers the first criminal, rebuking him. That means pulling him in a line. He says, "Don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." This second criminal, he also heard Jesus' prayer. He also read what was written above Jesus' head. And yet he saw Jesus very differently to the first criminal. He recognized Jesus as a king. So he says, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom," as we're about to look at. Now, Jesus didn't look anything less like a king. Nailed to a cross, dying, sneered at by the religious leaders, mocked by the soldiers, insulted by the other criminal. And yet the second criminal recognized that Jesus was a king. And so that's why he prays in verse 42, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." So his faith in Jesus is shown there in that prayer. And his request is humble. It's not demanding of Jesus. It's not save us. It's remember me when you come. So he recognizes that death is not the end for Jesus. Somewhere beyond death was Jesus' kingdom. And he reasoned that Jesus would have the opportunity to allow him to perhaps be a part of that. Two criminals, equal punishment, equal access to Jesus. One man rejects Jesus and the other man turns to Jesus in faith. And notice Jesus' words in response to him. He says, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now this man, his request was quite humble, remember me. And Jesus says, oh, more than that, you will be with me. It's like he asked for some crumbs and got a birthday cake. What Jesus gives him is far greater than he could possibly have hoped for. He knew that he was a guilty man. We are getting what we deserve, he said. He knows he has no right to ask anything of Jesus. And so he simply says, remember me. He gains salvation. Today, I assure you, you will be with me in paradise. Of course, Jesus' promise would be totally meaningless if Jesus stayed dead. What power would he have? And this is why at Easter we also remember Jesus' resurrection on the Sunday. Chapter 24 needs to be read for this promise made to be worth anything. Of course, we read in chapter 24 that Jesus conquered death, that he rose from the grave, that he did return, and therefore his words have all the meaning that he intends. I assure you that you will be with me in paradise. And we call this good news. Here is a man who is a criminal who deserves judgment and yet receives mercy and receives forgiveness from Jesus. Yes, he still has the consequences of his crimes. He doesn't get rescued from the physical death, but he does get rescued from the judgment of God for the way that he's lived, and he gains access to heaven. Can you imagine that? The first person to enter into heaven after Jesus dies on the cross is a criminal. A criminal who just said, remember me. I mean, sometimes we expect of people all this extra knowledge and understanding, and they've got to articulate clearly exactly why Jesus died and so on. He wouldn't have been able to do that. But he knew that Jesus was king, and he submitted to Jesus. And while each of us have breath in our lungs, we, like these criminals, have the opportunity to respond to Jesus. Only it would be very wise for us to not wait until it was our last request, like this fellow did. Got in by the skin of his teeth, you might say. At Ignite in January, we looked at a number of parables that Jesus told, and one of the parables he told was about a man who owned a vineyard, and he went out into the marketplace to get some workers to go and help to pull the crops in from his vines. And some guy gets employed first thing in the morning, 6 a.m., and some other guys then get employed at 9 a.m., and then some others at midday, and eventually someone gets employed at 5 p.m., and they work for an hour. And at the end of the day, at 6 o'clock, the owner of the vineyard gathers all the workers together and he decides to pay the last man employed first and work his way towards the first man employed. And as he does it, he gives the last man who worked for 1 hour, he gives him a denarius, which is a day's wages. But he only worked for an hour. And so the guys who are coming up last are expecting, oh, well, we've worked for 12 hours, this is good. But they get the same thing and they grumble. And they say, you know, well, we worked in the heat of the day and these guys only came in at the last minute. And Jesus said, but we made an agreement this morning for a denarius, for the day's wages. If I'm generous to these other guys, why is that a problem for you? You know, I think this criminal who's hanging on the cross is the 5 p.m. guy, the last hour. He gets in right at the end, yet he receives the same salvation, the same offer as anybody else. And so there are some people who've put their trust in Jesus since they were little kids, and there are some people who don't put their trust in Jesus until right near the end of their life. But they all get the same salvation. It's not like the kids who come to faith in Jesus are going to get more when they get to heaven. So it's never too late to put your trust in Jesus. But it's a good idea to do it as soon as you recognize the truth of who he is. And perhaps this Easter, that might be an opportunity for you to recognize the truth about Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for this passage that assures us that for those who put their trust in you, in your son Jesus, that they get to be with you in paradise like this criminal. Thank you that his simple prayer helps us to see that you will accept us as well. And his guilt helps us to see that if he gets in, it's possible for us to get in as well. Father, thank you that Jesus, in saving people, did not come down from the cross but went through with the death that he faced in order that we might be forgiven. And thank you that he rose to life that we might have assurance of this forgiveness. And we thank you for this in his name. Amen.